This week's Sedra is Parshat Chukotai. Of course, tonight is a very, very special night. If you haven't counted the Omer yet, say nothing. I just made sure to count right before I was getting ready to say that we have so many people here this evening because tonight is Lag B'Omer. But before I said tonight is Lag B'Omer, I said the bracha and I counted Shloshim, Shloshar Yom, Shehem, Arba'a Shavuot, V'Chamisha Yamin L'Omer. So once I've counted, then I'm able to say it is Lag B'Omer. And of course, Lag B'Omer is a very special day here in Eretz Yisrael. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm already able to smell the first whiff of the bonfires as Yerushalayim is going to begin to go up in smoke. Most probably by the time the shir is over, it's going to be difficult to breathe. We, of course, do have gas masks that can be used in case of Lag B'Omer fire. And halavai, they should never ever have to be used again, except for Lag B'Omer. So here it is. It's a very, very special day in Eretz Yisrael. In addition to the fact, of course, that every day is a special day in Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you, the boys back home are going to enjoy this day. The boys in the Altaheim. In Golos, the ones who haven't come home yet, but in Yitz Hashem, government has 30,000 apartments for rent. 30,000 families can make it back. There's place for them, and that's not even counting the caravans that are available. Alright, Parshas B'Chukosai. Parshas B'Chukosai, of course, is light and darkness. It is the Parsha that on the one hand says that if you will follow in my ways, things will be great. In the event, God forbid, that Jews are not going to follow God, they're not going to fulfill mitzvot, then of course tragedy will strike. And it is described in all of its horrible detail here in Parashat Chukotai. This is the tochacha, the admonition. There's going to be a second tochacha said by Moshe Rabbeinu again in Parshas Kitavo in Sefer Devarim. All right, let's begin by reading a few psukim at the beginning of the Sedra. Then we're going to read a few psukim toward the end of the tochacha, and we'll say the ideas as they come. In the Chukotai Teilechu, if you will go in my statutes that mitzvotai tishmeru, and you will keep my commandments, v'asitem otam, and you will do them, v'natati gishmeichem v'ibitam, I will give you your rain in its proper time, v'natna ha'aretz yevulah, the earth, the land will give out its produce, v'eitz hasadeh yitain pirio, and the tree of the field will give its fruit. We're going to get back to this pasuk. I've probably read the pasuk. I don't want to tell you how many years I've read this pasuk. And it was only this week as I read it that there was something else that struck me as being extremely significant about this pasuk. And we'll get back to that in a few moments. There's going to be a great deal of abundance so that the threshing of the grain and the harvest of the grapes, one is sort of going to flow into the next. In other words, you're first finishing up the harvest, and time for plowing and planting has already come around. No rest for the blessed farmer. There will be such an overflow, such abundance, that the land will be giving out so much. That until you harvest it all, it's already time to start plowing and planting again. And you will eat the bread and be satisfied with it. And you will live in security. You will live in security in your land. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, and I will give peace in the land. U'shechavtem, and you'll be able to lie down, and no one will cause you to fear or tremble And I will remove evil beasts from the land. No sword shall go through your land. Says Rashi, I will give you peace in the land. Shema Tomru, beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, maybe you're going to say, Harei Machol, Harei Mishta, we've already been guaranteed that there's going to be what to eat and what to drink. There will be there will be tremendous abundance and prosperity coming from the land. Im Ein Shalom, Ein Klum, if there's no peace, there's nothing. All of the abundance and all of the prosperity and all of the wealth, no peace, nothing, Talmud Loma. That's why the Torah tells you, after you're told about the Nos Maharetz Yevula the Eitaschod Yipain Pirio, after you're told all of that, then the Rebbeinu says, "Nasati Shalom Baaretz, I will give you peace in the land." Because from here we learn Shahashalom Shakul Kineged Hakol. Peace is equal to everything. Most important of all of the blessings. The Chain Hu Omer, and so it says, Ose Shalom. Pasuk Yeshayahu, Oseh Shalom, God makes peace with Borei et HaKol, and He creates everything. By making peace, then all of creation flourishes. We need peace, and God promises that there will be peace. And you will pursue your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. And five of you are going to pursue 100, and 100 of you are going to pursue 10,000. And your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Rashi asks a very interesting question on this passage. Something's wrong with the math. If five are going to pursue 100, so how many should 100 be able to pursue? 100 should be able to pursue 2,000. For those of us who don't know arithmetic that well, thank God that Rashi says it very, very clearly. We don't have to pull out our calculators. Rashi says the kikachu acheshbon is this is the calculation. If five pursue 100, then 100 are going to pursue 2,000. Ella, very end, Rashi says, in a domumu otanes a Torah, you cannot compare a few people that fulfill Torah, limerubim ha'ostim et ha-Torah, to the many who perform mitzvot. What the Pasuk is really saying is strength is compounded not arithmetically, but geometrically. If five are able to pursue 100, so it doesn't mean that 100 are going to pursue 2,000. The strength is compounded geometrically, and 100 therefore can pursue 10,000. So that's a very, very, very special blessing. Thank God, a blessing that we have seen fulfilled before our very eyes. Faniti aleichem, I will turn unto you, v'hifreiti etchem, and I will make you fruitful, v'hirbeit etchem, and I will multiply you, v'akimoti et briti etchem, and I will establish and fulfill my covenant with you. And so it continues on, very, very beautiful psukim. I'm going to bring you upright to Eretz Yisrael, v'olich etchem komim miyut. Bim lo tishmuli, but there's a second side to the coin. If you're not going to listen, pasuk yudalet, below tasavet kol mitzvot ha'ele, you will not do all of these mitzvot, begins the horrible, horrible tokacha. But even in the tokacha, the heavy, thick, dark clouds of tokacha, there is blessing in the tokacha as well. Let's go on in Perek 26. Let's go on to Pasuk 31. V'natati et areichem chorva, I will make your cities desolate. V'hashimoti et migdasheichem, I will destroy your holy places. V'lo ariach v'reach nichol cheichem, I'm not going to smell the your beautiful sacrifices. Ashimoti ani et haaretz, and I will make the land desolate. V'shamumu oleha yevechem, and your enemies will be desolate, hayoshvimpa, who live in this land. Says Rashi the following. Pasuk Lamed Bet. V'hashimoti ani et haaretz, I will make the land be desolate. Zumida tova liYisrael. This is a good measure for Israel. This is a blessing for Israel. Here in the middle of this terrible tochacha, this is mida tova liYisrael. Shelo yimtzu ha'ovim nachat ruach ba'artzam. The enemy will simply not find nachas ruach. They're not going to have any nachas in this land. Shetehei shomema miyoshvel. The land is going to be desolate from inhabitants. It means, as we have been zeiche to see in our own time, for 1800 years, no one was able to colonize and settle the land. So many people conquered, but none settled it. Because, as we've pointed out a number of times, the country simply refused to respond to the ministrations of all foreigners. Anybody who was not Jewish and came to Eretz Yisrael planted and he plowed and he eked out a meager living from this dry, arid, and desolate land. So this is a, Rashi says, and the Ramban elaborates on this, that this is a bracha, this is a blessing. Nobody's going to be able to settle the land until Klal Yisrael comes back, and then the land is going to begin to respond. The land is going to start giving out its fruits and its grain in great abundance. The land responds only to Klal Yisrael. Because as we're going to see, that there's a very unique relationship. In Tanakh, God is referred to as Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people, and he is also referred to as Elokei Haaretz, the God of Eretz Yisrael, the God of the land. There is a very unique relationship between God, Jews, Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the land, that inanimate object, the stone, the earth of Eretz Yisrael, knows if it's Yiddish Hent, as we say, if Yiddish Hent are planting and plowing, the land is going to respond. If not, it won't. I mean, that's what the Pasuk is saying. This is not a commercial for the Ministry of Tourism. This is a Pasuk in Torah. Zumida tova liYisrael. This is the God's measure of goodness for the Jewish people. The land simply will not tolerate any other people. No other people will ever be able to make it here. And we now have the benefit of the vision of history. We're able to look back and we're able to see nobody made it here. The Crusaders thought that they would make it here. I mean, we have to go through all of the peoples that conquered Eretz Yisrael. None of them made it. Nobody was ever able to eke anything significant out of the land. There are still parts of Eretz Yisrael that look like they have looked for 2,000 years. You can still find in some of the West Bank areas and others pieces of land that seem to have been terraced 1,000 years ago. It's the same thing. The same thing. Nothing has changed. But that part of Eretz Yisrael where Jews have plowed and planted, it has turned into a veritable garden. So this is part of the bracha. That means Eretz Yisrael is going to wait. Eretz Yisrael is going to have patience. Because this relationship of Elokei Haaretz and Elokei Yisrael means that the land only responds to Jews. Let's go a little further. Ve'etchem ezoreh b'goyim, I will cast you out, I will disperse you amongst the nations, v'harikoti achareichem cherev, and I will unsheath the sword after you. V'haytar tzachem shemama, your land is going to be desolate, v'areichem yiyu chorva, and your cities will be destroyed. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, this is the pasuk where we see the relationship, the connection between Parshat Bechukotai and Parshat Bahar. I said last week that there is they are inextricably intertwined, there is a link, and here comes the link. How long will Jews have to be out in exile. How long will Jews have to be in exile? They're going to have to be in exile for 70 years. They're going to have to be in exile for 70 years, and Rashi makes a cheshbon that during the 952 years from the time that Jews came into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua until the destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash, there were 69 years of Shemitah and Yovel that they didn't keep. Meaning that they didn't keep the way it should have been kept. And therefore, the land is going to demand its rest. You're going to be in exile 70 years. During the course of those 70 years, the land is going to rest. The land has accumulated 70 years of vacation. Magia! Magia la. So the pasuk points out, Oz tiritze ha'aretz et shavtoteh. Then the land is going to be appeased. For the years of Shemitah, the years of Shabbat, kol yimei hashamah, all the days that it's going to be desolate. Va'aten be'eretz ha'yevechem, while you are on the land of your enemies, the land is going to rest. Oz tishbat ha'aretz, then the land will have its Shabbat v'hitzah et shavtoteh, and it will be appeased through all of the years of Shemitah that you didn't keep. Kol yimei hashamah tishbat, all the days that it will be desolate, it's going to rest. It will rest for all of those years that it didn't rest while you were in the land. And the Sharim Bachem, and those who are going to remain, I will bring fear into their hearts, biartzot oyeveihem, in the land of their enemies. This is an extremely important point. I just want to point it out in passing. Fear is something that Jews are going to develop as divine retribution in Galus. Here's where it says it. Ve'veti morat levachem. It means Jews naturally are a brave people. We are not frightened people. Being frightened is an act of God. I will bring that softness, that cowardice, the fear into your hearts. Be'arzot oyeveihem, in the lands of their enemies. That's where it will develop. V'rodaf otam kol ole nidaf, and they will be pursued by a driven leaf, like a leaf that is driven by the wind. That's the extent to which they are going to be pursued. That's what's going to happen to them. They will flee. They will flee as though fleeing from the sword, and they'll fall, and there isn't really anybody pursuing them. When they return to Eretz Yisrael, the Jew again becomes fearless. He becomes strong. I once gave a shiur of this sort. Anybody who wants to can refer back to the shiur of Parshat Lech Lecha. The shiur in Parshat Lech Lecha was the difference between Avram and Eretz Yisrael, and Avram in Chutz Laaretz, Yaakov in Chutz Laaretz, and Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael. Copies of the shiur are available. That was the commercial. But since then, I found an absolutely magnificent vort from the Mei HaShiloach. The Mei HaShiloach was the Ishbitzer Rebbe, one of the great thinkers of the Hasidic world. So he says the following. In Parshat Maaseh it says, Vayisu Mecharoto Vayachanu B'Makhelot. In Parshat Maaseh it lists all of the journeys that Jews took through the desert. So it says, Vayisu Mecharoda. They journeyed from a place called Charoda, Vayachanu, and they encamped in a place called Makhelot. So he says the following, extremely important part. He says, when the time is going to come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to gather Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, then he's going to make us strong so that we're not going to fear anymore. And therefore he says, Vayisu mecharodah, Vayachanu b'makelot, when the time has come for chaniyah, when the time comes for Jews to encamp b'makelot in their masses in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to journey away. God is going to take them away from charodah, from fear and trembling. The same Jew who out there be'eretz oyeveichem, as the pasuk here says, be'eretz oyeveichem, frightened like a driven leaf. That same Jew says the Mei HaShilah, by Yisu Mei Chadot, that God causes them to journey away from fear and trembling when time comes for Vayachanu B'Makelot, that they should encamp in their masses. And in a sense that explains, and I'm saying this in passing, after the Balfour Declaration in 1917, then there was a San Remo conference at which the League of Nations adopted the Balfour Declaration as one of the goals and objectives of the League of Nations, to establish a homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine. Reb Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, wrote then that with this proposal that has now been accepted by the nations of the world, Sor Pachad Hashvuos, the oath, so to speak, that Jews were made to take by God, that they should not come back to Eretz Yisrael en masse. Rav Meir Simcha said, Sor Pachad Hashvuos, the fear of those oaths is removed. Nothing to be afraid anymore. Because once the nations of the world give their stamp of approval that Jews can return to Eretz Yisrael, then, as the Mei HaShilah says, the fear and the trembling disappears, because time has come for Vayachanu b'makelot, that they should encamp in their masses. But the important thing is that this was inspired by the Pasuk, right over here, where the Pasuk is very, very clear, that Vehevaiti morag b'levavchem, I'm going to bring fear into your hearts. Where? Ba'aretzot oyeveihem, in the land of their enemies. Let's go another few psukim. Pasuk 42. The Zacharti at Briti Yaakov. At the end, I'm going to remember the covenant of Yaakov, that at Briti Yitzchak, the covenant of Yitzchak, that at Briti Avram, the covenant of Avram. Ezkor, I will remember the Haaretz Ezkor, and I will remember the land. And again, the Haaretz Peozev Mehem, the land is going to be without Jews, how long? How long? V'tiretz et shavtoteha, until it will be appeased for the years of Shemitah that were not kept. Okay, that's enough for the present reading of Psukim. So I say, here is the relationship. Therefore, what it really means is that the Tochacha that appears here in Parashat Bukotai refers historically to the period of the first Bet HaMikdash and the first exile to Babel. The Tochacha that appears in Parashat Ki Tavo is going to describe the Churban, the destruction of the second Bet HaMikdash, and the Golus that is to follow that. After those two, there is no more Tochacha. No more Tochacha. That means that when Jews return to Eretz Yisrael for the third time, that's it. We're here to stay. This is it. We're here to stay. Individual Jews may not make it, but Klal Yisrael is here to stay. That's it. We have Zchut Shiva. We have the right to return. And the right to return is guaranteed only to us and to no one else. Let's go back to the beginning of the Sefer. I told you that there was a pasuk there that I read the pasuk very often, and the pasuk didn't really tell me everything that I believe it says. The Natati, second pasuk in the parashah, Natati Gishmechem B'Yitam, I will give you your rain in its time. I will give you your rain in its time. Just an interesting Rashi. I'll give you rain in its proper time. So Rashi brings the Torah Kahanan that says, I'll give you the rain at a time that people don't usually go out. Belele Shabbatot. Friday night, unless there are four Shalom Zochas in Har Nof.
The last time I got drenched was going from one Shalom Zacher to another.
The simple, you're right.
So if it's the middle of winter and I'm just a little happy if somebody had a baby girl, I mean, baby girls, also fine. But the Lele Shabbatot, and then there is another opinion that says on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, yeah.
All right, why did I leave Wednesday night? Again, Wednesday night is, of course, a time to come to Shia. That's a good question. I don't know, whatever it is, we've already had Wednesday nights with snowstorms and all sorts of exciting things. What is it that that excited me here? So here what I just want to add this to a drosha that I said 2 weeks ago. So those of you who heard it, you'll hear it again and you'll hear a new twist to it. Then again, there are those of you who heard it in Hebrew, so if the announcements are repeated in English, why shouldn't the drosha be repeated in English? And then, of course, there are those of you who weren't here. I had said 2 weeks ago, what I had said was that usually in the world you say that when there's nothing to talk about, then you talk about the weather, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to stop the pun right here. It's not going to go any further. You have nothing to talk about. You talk about the weather. Because the weather seems to be the most unimportant and insignificant thing of all. If there is no relationship between two people, in other words, you already asked each other, how are you? I'm fine. Baruch Hashem. And you? Oh, very. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So once that's taken care of, that means there's really no more conversation. So therefore you say, I don't know. I go out in the morning. I go out bundled up. I'm bundled up. By 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock already, Brent and Tellerhof in Himmel. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Frank Dune, it starts blowing over your coat. I have a hot and cold. I don't understand. And then we're told that in the middle of it all, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. So we've had rain, we've had sharav, we've had extremely hot weather. For Yom HaTzmut, they even created a new word. It was both sharav and avich, so they called it shravich. Hot weather, and it was also this heavy weather that brought in sand from the desert. So it was shravich. And right after the shravich, that Friday, the day after Yom HaTzmut, if you remember, Friday morning is gegangen argos regen. It poured. So what's happening? So right. So it is fascinating. You know, the weather over here is very very interesting. The weather is very important. When is it true that to talk about the weather is when you have nothing else to talk about? That's in Chutz La'aretz. But when you're talking about Eretz Yisrael, the weather, and this is not a pun, the weather is min hashamayim. It's from heaven. From heaven in a way that the weather in Chutz La'aretz is not. Is not. The question that we ask was, I believe, a very fascinating question. You'll take a look in Parshas Vayeschanan. I'm going to read two psukim in Parshas Vayeschanan. It says the following: Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'acha El Eretz Tova. Parshas Ekev. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'acha, because God, your God, brings you El Eretz Tova, to a good land, Eretz Nachalei Mayim, a land that has streams of water, Ayanot Utahomot, fountains and wells, Yotzim Babika Ubahar, that come out from the valley and from the mountain. And we talked about this pasuk. This pasuk. Unique, that this is supposed to be a land with a great deal of water, which we have been safer to see this year. Eretz Chito Usora, a land of wheat and barley, the gefen uta'ena v'rimon, and the grape, the fig, the pomegranate, eretz zeit shemen, a land of olives, the oil that comes from olives, udvash and honey. This is the famous pasuk that lists for us the sheva minim, the seven species for which Eretz Yisrael is known. And this is extremely important in halacha. First of all, the mitzvah of bikurim. What first fruits do you bring on Shavuos to the Beit HaMikdash? You didn't bring oranges and you didn't bring apples. What was it that you brought to the Beit HaMikdash? You brought the first fruits of Gefen, Te'enor, Rimon, Zayit, and Dvash. We'll see in a moment what it is. That was the, those were the Sheva Minim, the Sheva Minim with which Eretz Yisrael is known. So Bikurim are the Sheva Minim. We have a Bracha Achrona, a mini benching, the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, that is similar to the three Brachas of benching. When do you say the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh? After you have had either cake which is made from grain, or having eaten any one of these fruits for which Eretz Yisrael is known. Or for wine. You don't make it for apples, oranges, or watermelons, or avocado, or anything else. So here we have a list of the seven minim, the seven species for which Eretz Yisrael is known. There is another list. There's another list in Torah. The other list in Torah appears in Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz, when the brothers of Yosef are getting ready to go for their second journey down to Egypt, and they've had a difficult time convincing Yaakov, their father, that he should permit them to return because they have to take their youngest brother Binyamin with them. So it says in Sefer Bereshit, Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hayomer Aleim Yisrael Avim Yisrael, their father said to them, Im Kain, if so, Eifo Zot Asu, you're going to go, this is what you should do. Kumi Zimrat Haaretz, take from the Zimrat Haaretz, from the produce about which people sing, the Zimrat Haaretz, take with you the Zimrat Haaretz, Bichleichem, with you, the Horidu Leish Mincham, bring it as a gift to that man. What should you bring? What are the six? Ma'at Tzari u'ma'at Dvash. A little bit of Tzari is balm. U'ma'at Dvash and a little bit of honey. Nechot volot. Nechot is myrrh. And lot is lotanum. Lotanum. Alright. Botnim u'shkedim. Nuts. Pistachio nuts. Pistachio nuts. Ah, Yaakov Avinu knew in Geula you get the best pistachio nuts. So he sends down pistachio nuts, ushkedim and emes. Here's a list of six. And how does Yaakov refer to these six? These six he calls Zimrat Haaretz, the song of the land, the joy of the land. Now there's only one that seems to be similar, the list of the seven and the list of the six. There's only one that seems to be similar, and that is Dvash. Honey is mentioned in both. But Chazal tell us the honey that Yaakov is talking about is from bees. And the honey that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about is from dates. Dates.
What's the proof that over there it's dates? Because all of the other six grow from the earth. So therefore the Dvash also is something that grows from the earth.
So the question is, which are the real minim, the real species which Eretz Yisrael is known? The six Zimrat Haaretz of Yaakov, or the seven of Moshe Rabbeinu?
And the fact is that the seven of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Halacha, tells us that's where you bring Bikurim. And that's where you say the bracha of Al HaMichyo or Al HaGefen or Al Haaretz Uperotel.
So I pointed out that the one of the Sforim that was given out by Neot Kitumim, written by Nogah Haruveni, says that there's something very, very special about the seven species that Moshe Rabbeinu lists. Something very, very special. There is a common denominator that joins all of these seven together. Agriculturally, the decision of what's going to happen with the produce of chito se'ora, the grain, the wheat, and the barley, and then the grape, the date, the fig, the pomegranate, the olive, what will happen to them is decided in one period of the year, in the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. In the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos,
All seven come to the most crucial point in their development. The brain is at a third of its growth, which means it's getting ready now for that great push forward until it becomes as high as an elephant's eye. That's what's happening. It's right in middle of the period between Pesach and Shavuos. This is the time at which it has reached a third of its growth, and it's getting ready for the great push. The fruit are just at the point where the flowers are beginning to bud. If the fruit will be cared for properly during those 7 weeks, then you know what will happen? Right before Shavuos, man will be able to go into his orchard and see, oi, a first date, a first grape. And with love, he's going to take it off the tree, bring it to Yerushalayim, and tell the Rebbe Shalom thanks. Thanks for the great blessing. But there's a serious problem. And the serious problem is the one that makes the seven species so special and so unique. The grain and the fruits need two different kinds of weather patterns. The Gemara says, Ruach Tzponit, the north wind is the cool wind that brings lachot, rain, moisture. The Ruach Tzponit, that north wind is good. It's good for the grain when the grain is at a third of its growth. Koshalization, but it's very difficult. It's bad for the olives, b'shoshi yonitsu, at the times that blossoms begin to open. On the other hand, ruach dromit, the south wind, which is a dry, dry wind, koshal achitim, that's bad for the grain, b'shoshi heviu shalish, the grain that's at a third of its height, the yofel aseisim, but it's great, that dry, hot wind is good for the olives when the blossoms are about to open up. What it means is the following. The fruit of the trees, they need dry weather. When there's very dry, hot weather, so then the pollen is able to move from one flower to the next, and it just is going to grow in a very special way. The grains in the field need a little bit moisture. They need a drink a little bit, and you know there's a great deal of moisture that the earth has from the whole winter, but it needs a little bit additional moisture. Now the simon, that's what the Gemara concludes by saying the simon is the following. You want to remember, shulchan b'tzafon, the table in the Beis Hamikdash was in the north, and the menorah was Bedorom in the south. Zem mar b'shalo, v'zem mar b'shalo. Each one looks out for its own benefit. The table on which the lechem apanim, made out of wheat, out of grain, that was in the north of the Beis Hamikdash. Because what does the grain need during these 7 weeks? The grain needs the cool, cold, wet north wind. The menorah, which gets its oil from the olive, what does the olive need during this crucial period of the year? It needs dry weather, so the menorah is in the south. The problem was that all of these weather patterns are completely out of man's hands. Nothing he can do about it. Nothing he can do about it. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael, ancient Eretz Yisrael, was a hotbed of idolatry and pagan and heathen practices precisely because men here felt that he was completely at the mercy of the elements. As Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Devarim, the land that you're coming to is not Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's not that like the land of Mitzrayim where you were able to water it and irrigate it from irrigation ditches that came from the Nile. The land that you're coming to is a land that depends on the very heavens. So ancient man before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the Shiva Umos, lived with the fear that came by living in Eretz Yisrael. The fear of living in Eretz Yisrael was, at the same time of the year, they needed contradictory weather patterns. Who's going to be able to maintain the balance that during the course of these 7 weeks from Pesach until Shavuos, and that's one of the reasons why we count Slicha, who was going to maintain this delicate balance? A few warm days, so that the fruits are going to blossom. But wait a minute, got a little too warm, the grain has to have needs wet weather. And therefore, during this period, these 7 weeks, are the most unusual weather patterns in Eretz Yisrael. From hot to cold, from dry to wet, and you should know, it's all orchestrated from on high. And therefore you will see time and time again, D'goncha tirosha v'yitzarecha. In Shema, we say it 3 times a day. V'hoyom Shema etishmu, if you're going to listen to what God says. So what will I do? V'nasati metar artzichem b'yito, I will give you the rain in your land at its time. And then you know what you will be able to do as a result of that? V'asakta, you will gather in d'goncha tirosha v'yitzarecha. If I'm going to give you the rain at precisely the right time, in precisely the right measure, then you will have a crop of grain and fruit. Be very careful, lest your heart is going to be seduced and you're going to follow other gods and bow down to them. Why should intelligent Jews turn to other gods? Because of the land. The land was a land where there were only one of two choices. Either you see everything as the work of God. If you don't see it all as the work of God, then man is going to find himself a frightened little being at the mercy of the elements. Nothing he can do about it. So you know what ancient man did? He worshipped the gods of the sun and the god of the rain, the cold, the heat, because he was just grasping for straws. What was he going to turn to? And therefore, if you will turn toward other gods, v'choraaf Hashem b'chem, God will become angry, v'atzaret Hashemayim, he's going to lock up the heavens below Yom HaTor. There won't be rain, and therefore you know what's going to happen, v'hadam alu titini tivula, then the land is not going to give out its produce. And then you're going to be lost, mehera, quickly from the good land. Did you ever notice? I don't know, maybe I don't remember anymore. But I've already told you time again. You know already. Chaya knows already that you see God in Machne Yehuda. But there's another place to see God. Do you know where you can see God? If you're looking, I mean, I'll tell you. You know where you can see God? And believe me, I feel it and I sense it. The weather report. The weather report. You ever watch the weather report? Come on, some. Heard the weather report, I'm sorry. The weather report. I think there are about seven or eight different areas in the, you know, Ezorim, Ezor Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Remember the Ezorim? You start with the weather in the Ramat HaGolan, in the Tveria Ustiv HaKineret. Incidentally, Tzfat, that's 20 minutes away. I don't know, it may be very warm right now in Tveria, 20 minutes away over there in Tzfat, Kenfalen Ashnei. Even though most probably because of the Medurot in Miron tonight, it's going to be hot in Tzfat too. And then it goes to the Imkei HaTzafon, the Bet Shan, and the Bet Shan area, David Levy country. There it can be very hot. And then you go along the Mishor HaChof, and you get the weather along the Mishor HaChof, then Yehuda v'Shomron, Yerushalayim, and then you have Yam HaMelech, you have Be'er Sheva, Tzfon HaNegev, Eilat, a lot of different weather patterns. Go compare that with, back in the Golan, the United States. So first of all, you had one news station that gave you all the news and all the weather. All you had to do was give them 20 minutes, and they'd give you the world. And WINS, you give us 22 minutes. 22 minutes. And I'll tell you the truth, I never gave them 22 minutes. And we'll give you the world. This is WINS serving New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut with all weather, all the time. Now, I don't remember ever a weather report that in northern New Jersey it fell on a schnee. Around Trenton it's going to be hot, terribly hot. In Passaic, it's as I said. Every city, every little area, or look at it from another point of view. Did you ever eat in New York, did you ever eat oranges from New York? You never ate oranges from New York. Oranges came from Florida. Where did you eat dates from? Dates from California. Where did you eat bananas from? Chiquita banana came from someplace in the Caribbean, right? I don't know where they came from. Where they came from. In this little country that I believe is smaller than New Jersey, you have so much different weather. So much different weather. You have so many different topographical and geographical areas. Most probably, it's one of the few countries in the world where this is the most probably the smallest country in the world where you have all of the different geographical areas with all, and therefore you need all of the different weather patterns, and therefore you're able to eat dates from Yericho. Olives, I know you have olives all over the country. Grapes, you have grapes in the Golan, and you have grapes in the Hebron area. You have all of them growing within one area, but the Gemara tells us they need different weather patterns. Who maintains the balance? Who is the one that's going to make sure that each different kind of produce is going to get precisely what it needs? And more so, during the course of these 7 weeks, when the seven species are determined, when the decision is made, what's going to happen with them? Remember, Shavuos was the Rosh Hashanah for Peiros HaIlon. The fruit of the tree was decided then. Pesach, it was the grain that was decided. All those decisions were made Min HaShemayim. So therefore, this period from Pesach to Shavuos became an extremely important one. And it therefore became a time of total rededication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The weather here is Him. It's Him every step of the way. And therefore the menorah and the shulchan represent standing before God themselves saying, Rabbeinu Shem, take care of the grain. Rabbeinu Shem, take care of the fruits. Unusual the patterns of Eretz Yisrael. Because this is the land. This is the land of the Chabad Yisrael. So I'll tell you, when I took a look at the pasuk at the beginning of the Pukotai, this time around, all of a sudden it hit me. This is precisely what the pasuk is saying. V'natati gishmechan be'itam, I will give you your rain in its proper time. And then you know what will happen if it comes at its proper time? Two things. V'notna ha'aretz yivula, the land is going to give out its produce, that's the grains. Ve'it ha'sada yitim piryo, and the tree of the field is going to give out its fruit. Both are going to be accomplished. Unusual. I mean, it's clear that this is what the pasuk is saying. So that therefore, don't ever become confused or concerned during the course of this period of the year. Like I thought it was summer already. I thought it was summer. Yesterday it was Shabbat, it was over 30 in Yerushalayim. And today, you understand, a sweater and a coat. I tell you the truth, if I wouldn't be embarrassed, I'd come with my, I'd wear my scarf to shul in the morning with my coat. The only thing is over here, you can't do it, you know. Some little Israeli kid is going to go by and it's snowing, and of course he's with his short sleeves that are rolled up because of the Zeschmolzen werden from the heat. So here, while they're walking around in their short sleeves, I come with my sweater and my jacket and my coat, and yet put on a scarf also, you know. I have a little self-respect. The weather, all year, is literally min hashamayim. During the period between Pesach and Shavuos, that's the period of the absolute perfect balance that only the Rebbeinu Shem is capable of accomplishing. I tell you the truth. Yeah. I'm not such a holy Jew, but on Yom HaTzmaut, I was praying it should rain the next day. You know why I was praying that it should rain? If you remember, you know, you forget, but if you become sensitive to weather, well, of course, it's from. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the way you want to know what's going on over here. This is the way you should look at it. A lot of sand came down. If you looked out, it was a very, overcast day. All of the trees and the cars, everything had a heavy, thick layer of sand on it. So I was thinking to myself, oy vey, can you imagine we're going to have to wait 7-8 months till after Sukkot, Tavshin Nun Gimel, to wash away this heavy layer of earth? I get up in the morning in this geist. It washed away that entire layer of sand, and growth continued precisely the way it's supposed to. The reports of this year so far are of a bumper crop, unprecedented. The grain already seems to be, even in the Negev already, the amount of grain that is growing this year is absolutely unbelievable. But it's all Mamish Nashamayim. We say it 3 times a day in Kriya Shema. We have to take it seriously. That's precisely what's being said. If you will keep my mitzvot, be good. Not, no. So I know what somebody's going to ask. I mean, are we really that good that we deserve all of this blessing? The fact is that God is pouring out His blessing to us. Are we that good? I'm sure that if any one of you wants to, we can find all sorts of terrible things that are going on in this country, and there are experts. I have a little bit more difficulty than other people, but even I wouldn't have much difficulty. There's a great deal of light here, but there's also darkness. There's good and there's bad. So first of all, the question is which is the dominant? Which is the dominant? I'm not going to go into that now, because if I get into that now, you'll be here till next Lag B'Omer. The animamim b'emunah shleimah, that the dominant feature which defines Eretz Yisrael is the light and the good. The darkness and the evil is an aberration. It's not the norm. The norm is the good. But that's obviously something that I really can't begin to talk about that now. But don't worry. I will not owe you. You will get this as well. But I came across a pasuk that my wife was there and Sandy was there this morning. 4 words in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud in Shoftim, that just have blown my mind, and I'm just riding the wave of those 4 words. I'll just describe that phrase, and I'm afraid that this is frustrating for me again, because there was a whole shiur on Shemitah, part 2 of last week's shiur, that I just haven't gotten to, but Mirz Hashem Gesund Eid will be here. Next year, we'll find some reference to Shemitah in a Rashi in some pasuk someplace else, and we'll therefore be able to continue the discussion of Shemitah. But those 4 words in the 10th chapter of Sefer Shoftim, It became another one of those periods of time where Vayosifu Bnei Yisrael lasot et hagar b'nei Hashem, and Jews did that which was bad in the eyes of God, and they worshipped all sorts of deities. And in fact, the pasuk lists seven different gods whom they worshipped. And things were very, very bad, and they went from bad to worse. It was terrible. The idolatry, pagan and heathen practices then fell. And therefore God brought enemies from around the Bnei Amon, Bnei Edom. All sorts of people started coming into Eretz Yisrael. They took the east bank, and then they crossed the Yarden, and there was already difficulty and trouble for the Jewish people within the heartland of Eretz Yisrael itself. And Jews cried out to God, and God says, listen, what are you talking to me? Go pray to all of those gods and those deities whom you have served all along. Lo osif lahoshia etchem. I'm not going to help you anymore. That's it. And three psukim later, God changes his mind. And four words. The four words, I believe, are that which definitively describes the period in which we live. Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. And God couldn't tolerate anymore the suffering and the torment of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi says, Rashi has to explain it. In other words, we're talking about God in such human terms. Kivyachol, Rashi says, so to speak, as though a person, tzaris, torment, sort of makes the person closed in and small, and he needs place for all of the pain to go out. Kivyachol, so to speak. That's what the pasuk writes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was tormented by the pain of Klal. He just couldn't take it anymore. He wasn't going to stand for it anymore. So he brings salvation to Klal. Does he bring salvation then through some very, very special person? This pasuk is the introduction to the period of Yiftach. Yiftach was not the fellow who had a band of Reikim Pochazim, a whole bunch of non-entities gathered around him. He was a gang leader. But he was a tough guy. He would not have gotten a seat on the Meitzes Gedolei HaTorah. Not even on a seat for the Meitzes Chachmei Shas. I don't think he'd make it into the Knesset. But when God wants to save Klal Yisrael, you know what he does? He uses the best man for the job. He doesn't check his tzitzis, doesn't check to see which hechsher he eats from. I want to save Klal Yisrael now. I have to save Klal Yisrael now. I can't take their suffering and their pain anymore. He's the man who can do it. Yiftach will do it. And the Gemara says, Yiftach bedoro, kishmuel bedoro. Yiftach in his generation was like Shmuel in his generation. He is the man. He became the instrument, because that tiktzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. God just couldn't take it anymore. If you will ask, are we so special that we deserve the great blessings that are coming down? I don't know. I personally hold that Jewish people, we're a great people. We have our problems, we have our faults, everybody has problems, everybody has faults. Yeah, right, so there's a great deal of light, there's also, there are patches of darkness. So if you have difficulty, in other words, for somebody who sees the patches of darkness as being more dominant, which is never true, it's not true. So then the answer is, Bashit, the Rebbeinu has had it. Dugmat Begin, ani lo yachol yoter. Begin, I can't take it anymore. The Rebbeinu shalom, ani lo yachol yoter. I can't take it anymore. But tiktzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. He was simply incapable anymore of standing the torment and the suffering and the pain of Klal Yisrael, and therefore, you know what? Kindalach, bracha, rain, blessing, strength, power, might. And ultimately you're going to see become stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. If it may mean that you're going to have to live without depending on the United States, great. Learn how to do that too. If it means, therefore, you're going to be forced into a position to become even more independent and more self-reliant, that's precisely what I want. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlomo pours out blessing.